I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will find stories behind the stories, truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party political propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe space here for independent thinkers out there. I have I've crossed the picket lines and come into work today on this climate crisis strike day. Now I am a scab of the climate change hysteria. Today in the second hour, I'm going to do False Flag Friday. Boy, is it ever easy this week. For those of you who don't know what a false flag is, it's an event that is either manufactured, created, or just exploited for purposes that we are not privy to. And boy, we've already talked about it a lot this week, but we'll kind of wrap up what's exactly going on with foreign policy in Iran and the march to war. We're also going to take a look back at the end of the show, as we always do, to try to end Friday on a lighter note. We'll take a look back at the week of the lunatic left. I got plenty of Biden clips, and I think we need to get to him while we can, because he's not long for this campaign. When it really comes to false flags, I wanted to do some of this climate crisis stuff. It's been very annoying. I watch the morning shows. It's so funny. I can't. Fox and Friends, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Yes, Fox has got the best legs on network television. There's no doubt about that as a guy. I can appreciate that. Nice move, Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes. But it feels like they're talking to an eighth grader, generally, for me on Fox and Friends. No insult meant to anybody. It's just so propagandish. So I can't do it. So I go to the major news networks. I certainly can't do CNN or MSNBC, Morning Joe, or anything like that. But I'll watch ABC, and then I'll try NBC. I get about 3 or 4 days of watching these things. I just want to find out what the headlines are. I'm doing show prep while I'm watching this in the morning. And I just want to see if there's anything breaking, see kind of what the take on the news is. It's so funny that I can last about 3 days with any particular network before I just get so sick of them. We have got to be in a time of the worst anchors on morning news shows that I've ever seen. Michael Strahan may be a perfectly nice guy. He seems like a nice guy. Was he a former New York Giants football player? Now I think he does a show with, used to be Kelly Ripa. Is there somebody else now? I don't even know, but he does some talk show. He's now one of the head news guys at one of the networks. I think it's ABC? I don't know what it is. Gayle King was Oprah's buddy. She is now the head news girl at CBS. I don't even know. Maybe she has a news background. I don't know. I tuned to Hoda Kotb. Again, maybe a perfectly nice human being. She seems upbeat. Probably somebody in my life I wouldn't mind being around, because she seems kind of happy and stuff. But the anchors of these news programs are horrible, absolutely horrible. But I watch these things, and I've noticed this past week. I guess it's leading up to this climate strike day. Schools, New York has been reported to de Blasio, told a million kids, just take the day off. Go out there and let your voices be heard. Canada's trying to get, they're running promos to try to get 8-year-olds to start voting up in Canada. That's when you cross the, it's pure insanity. But I've watched for an entire week this climate crisis. And I got to tell you, Al Roker, who's trying to sell us on hysterical climate change legislation and action, he gets very serious when it comes to the climate change issue. I cannot take the man seriously. Have you seen Al Roker lately? He now wears some kind of very bold colored frames around his glasses. He's got blue or red or green. I don't know. I don't know if he changes the. You can't take this guy seriously. He looks like a cartoon character, but he's very, very serious behind those colored frames, as he tells us of the existential threat to all of humanity from climate change. The hysteria based around climate change. It's good for a Friday to do this, that the climate strike is today. The hysteria around climate change may be the biggest false flag we've ever seen. And we'll break down a little bit of that today. I saw yesterday morning, I think it was yesterday, a clip on CBS. They're tackling the climate change story. It's all very serious and very dire. You know how it is. We're going to spend some time today on it. And this is how they start the show off. And then I'm going to play, because I watched this in real time yesterday morning, I guess when I was watching their broadcast. They interview a guy in Greenland. This whole segment is about the Greenland glaciers disappearing. They give some pretty stunning statistics. We'll hear it in just a second. I think it's like 11 billion pounds of ice or meter. I don't know what it is. Well, gallons. I don't know what it is. But the thing is, I have no context to know if this is something that happens every single day. We're all so simple-minded when it comes to the size of the Earth and the processes that are involved in a daily basis around the Earth. Big things happen around this planet. It's a big planet. We are tiny, tiny little animals on a really big planet. But anyway, they lead this, and then I'm going to fast-forward this clip, and we're going to listen to one of the people in Greenland explaining how catastrophic climate change, how this man-made climate change has affected his business. I was watching this yesterday, and I thought, why in the world would they leave that interview into this piece? It made no sense. Anyway, this is Gail King. I'm going to let him start off the segment. And these segments have been rolling on all of the major networks all week. This is a coordinated thing through all the major mainstream networks to terrorize our children and get parents and get adults to do things we would never consider doing in the name of this threat that they keep telling us is so dire.
Mentalist. In our Eye on Earth series, CBS This Morning is showcasing original reporting focusing on the health of our planet. Greenland's melting ice sheet is contributing to a rise in sea levels that could threaten millions in low-lying areas.
They really should have told Barack Obama that before he bought that oceanfront home. It's very short-sighted there.
The situation became more urgent this summer when 11 billion tons of surface ice melted just one day. Seth Doane visited Greenland's glaciers to meet some of the scientists on the front lines of climate change.
Icebergs broken off glaciers fill fjords.
Ice melting here in Greenland is affecting sea levels around the world.
In fact, if all of Greenland's ice sheet melted, sea levels could rise by 23 feet worldwide. We choppered out to Helheim Glacier, which holds enough frozen water to fill the entire state of Pennsylvania a foot deep.
You know, this is all the, you know, all kinds of big numbers, big scary numbers. As I say, the Earth is such a big place. So a lot of this is just hysterical stuff. But I wanted to get to, I just found this to be kind of funny. They got to a guy who is on Greenland, and he runs a winter sports business, I guess is the way to put it. And they report on his business this year. But what I want you to listen to is just what this guy says. Now, climate change, as we've been led to believe, how long has this been going on? How long have we been subject to this hysteria of the world's going to end in a few years? In the 1970s, I believe, it was global cooling. That didn't really take much. And then we got into climate change probably in the 80s, pretty hardcore in the 90s, and then after the year 2000. I mean, we've just been all in as a society about this existential threat to the, you know, to all of humanity and the planet. Listen to this guy describe his business, and what they want you to focus on is the fact that he had a short season this year, but he says something in there that just contradicts their entire narrative of this entire piece.
And nearby in the picturesque port town of Tasiilaq,
this is all Inuit culture.
This is all Inuit
Rasmus
culture.
Paulson took freelance work at this museum of Inuit culture. His winter sport adventure business had a shorter season.
Last year was extremely good. We had a lot of snow, a lot of ice. We were able to do dog sledding all the way into the first week of June. This year, I had to close down my business for winter activities in the middle of April.
Summer came sooner.
Summer came very, very much sooner.
Coming off the ice sheet.
Okay. Did they left that in there as part of their report. Last year, not 100 years ago, not that his great-great-grandfather ran this business and he was able to keep dog sledding going until June. Last year, it was very, very good. He says, very, very good. We had much snow and lots of ice. I kept running my business until June. This year, April. And the CBS guy, he doesn't point out the fact. He goes, oh, it's just last year was good? No, he goes, oh, it was a shorter winter this year, wasn't it? Yes, much shorter winter this year. The difference in 1 year. And they left this in the report. It just shows how people miss the grander, you know, the bigger points, the things that people miss in these broadcasts. When I come back, you know, for those of you, one of the things that I have kind of criticized Americans for is that we're so sheltered, particularly in American media. And within horrible American media, we also then separate ourselves into two camps. Now, the climate change alarmist will only listen to certain people, and the people who deny climate change will only listen to certain people. And we think that the rest of the world should love and adore us. We don't know how other countries view us, particularly when I talk about military actions. But you might want to include RT. And it's so funny to me. I get most of my RT news off of. I don't have it on a cable subscription or anything, but I'll watch YouTube videos of it. YouTube puts a disclaimer underneath all RT videos. This is funded in part by the Russian government. But RT probably is one of the better reporting outfits out there. And I've got a clip from RT, and I want you to listen to the guy that RT brings on willingly, and they don't go after him. And ask yourself, when you hear this guy, who is a scientist, when you hear this guy, ask yourself, would American media ever allow this guy to come on network television in the United States? You got to broaden your horizons. You got to get outside of American mainstream media, particularly for you kids today. If there's any of you out there that are on a climate change strike day, for the love of God, start paying attention to more than the ridiculous American media that's feeding you these narratives. When I come back, we'll do that. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about some of my conspiracy folks out there might appreciate this. The Club of Rome. Where did this climate change hysteria stuff start? And this Club of Rome had put out a very, very long report in 1990 entitled The First Global Revolution. And there's a couple of interesting things in there to kind of show you what the plan was all along to scare everybody to death about our planet dying. I'll be right back with that. You're listening to The Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
On this day where our terrorized children are taking the day off of school to scream at us adults for destroying the planet through catastrophic climate change, let me first admit something. I believe in climate change. Now, I'm not just talking about the weather. I'm talking about long-term trends that this planet may be heating or it may be cooling. It has heated before. It will heat again. It's cooled before. It will cool again. I absolutely believe in climate change. I'm not going to terrorize my children with it. And the hypocrisy on this issue is stunning. I'm going to get to later on, probably in the look back at the week of the lunatic left. NBC ran a thing on their website where you could go and confess your climate sins. And what it really showed me, although there were some pretty funny responses to it, obviously not everybody is on board with the hysteria that Al Roker in his goofy frame glasses is trying to sell you. What it showed was, most of these people that you could tell were even sincere in confessing their sins, they'd done nothing. I mean, they were talking about the plastic they were using, you know, the cars they drive, just everything. not one of these people that you see go to Congress and sit in front of the mahogany walls of Democratic lawmakers to tell us how we're destroying future generations. Not one of them walked there. Not one of them rode a bike there. They come from across the country in giant jet airlines. They communicate on their iPhones. They sit down in front of their... I mean, they do everything that is just part of being modern man. And then lecture the rest of us. It is terrorizing our children. I've got clips on that later. Again, probably in my look back at the week on the lunatic left. But this is a coordinated campaign. And it has roots in places. This is not something that scientists started just discovering. It wasn't a scientific discovery that was then fleshed out and became a movement. It was a movement that began to fund scientists to come to this conclusion. I ask anybody out there who is really concerned about this climate change and believe that we need to alter our entire economies and our complete way of life, I can't get anybody that I talk to about climate change on the left to answer this question to me. A lot of the United States was covered in glaciers at one point. It is no longer covered in glaciers. This retreat of the glaciers from the United States portion of the North American continent, the retreat of these glaciers happened long before industrial production, long before cars and SUVs and coal plants. What? How is that possible? Obviously, the planet warmed at some point. Is it not common sense that it would warm again and then cool again? I mean, there's people talking about we're going to a solar minimum, it's going to get colder. I don't know if that's right or not. I guess we'll find out. But anybody on the left who buys into this climate hysteria, I just ask you, you just have so much explaining to do. And the 97% of scientists all agree on climate change. I've already done the stories. I don't have it in front of me today. I don't want to repeat everything over and over again. It came down to a sample of like 78 scientists, and they ended up using the opinions of like 16 of them. 16 out of 17 of these scientists said that they believe that man-made climate change was happening. That's what that statistic actually boils down to. So if you're out there spouting the 97% of scientists agree, you've just been duped. They're playing you like a violin. Now, American news media has spent a lot of this week talking about catastrophic climate change, terrorizing our children and the feeble-minded adults among us. This is RT. Now, this clip is old, I will say. I just ran across it today, but I just thought it was so illustrative of what American media is, the propaganda on our airwaves every day. And I want you to listen to this scientist that they bring on RT and ask yourself, would this guy ever be allowed on CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS.
Russia's deadly wildfires, the smog-filled cities, and poor harvest are being seen by some environmentalists as signs of climate change. Let's now cross live to London to discuss this with Piers Corbyn. He's an astrophysicist and also founder of Weather Action. Good to have you. Thanks very much indeed for joining us live there in London. So what we are seeing here is a drastic change in climate, aren't we?
Well, climate has always been changing, but this has nothing to do with man. In fact, we predicted that there would be extreme heat in East Europe and Russia this summer. And it's caused by a certain circulation pattern. CO2 does not cause circulation patterns. What causes those is a combination of solar activity and the state of the phases of the moon.
But hang on, Piers. Excuse me, just a minute. You say this isn't caused by man. How come they're reporting this heat wave is recognised as the worst in 1,000 years of recorded history in Russia?
Surely, of course,
man has got something to do with this, hasn't he?
No, nothing to do with it. The only connection is man is here at the same time as the sun and the moon are doing things. you see, a very similar situation happened about 132 years ago, where there was the same sun, earth, lunar, magnetic states. There was heat waves in Russia, and there were also floods in Pakistan as now. And in the previous few years, there was also floods in the English summers, also 132 years ago. So these things are dictated by solar activity in the moon.
The sun? The sun has an effect on the temperature of the earth. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? Do you think there's a chance in the world that this guy, or anybody like him, and there are a lot of scientists like this guy, they're all over the place, and they're not in this small smidgen of fringe people at this 3% against the other 97%. That statistic is ridiculous. If you're reciting the 97% of scientists, and sometimes I hear in speeches by people like Al Gore where sometimes they say 99%. They're not even satisfied with 97%. They will lie and say it's 99%. That is a bogus statistic. You have been lied to. Look it up. Go look it up. I'm so sick of things people just say over and over again, and it becomes accepted as fact because it's said enough times. It's like we gave Iran $150 billion. Obama gave Iran $150 billion. I may cover that a little bit later today. But if you say that, you really don't sound real smart. I'll just tell you that. Do your own research. We didn't give them $150 billion. 97% of climate of scientists do not agree on man-made climate change. The Club of Rome, I just thought this was a little interesting, just something to throw in there. A lot of people smarter than me have talked about this for a long time. I'm not completely familiar with it, but I did want to look it up today. On page 75 of their 1990 publication entitled The First Global Revolution, and the Club of Rome was started, I believe, in the 1960s, and it's a one-world government thing. So if you think I've got a tinfoil hat on, judge me if you want to, but these kinds of policy papers are put out by all kinds of groups. Club of Rome started in the 1960s. They think that a world government is what will solve everything. It divides the world into 10 sectors. You know, national sovereignty is gone. There are just 10 sectors of the planet, and then you have one overarching government. I mean, and there are influential people that are in these groups. Henry Kissinger was a member of these groups. They're eugenics groups. They really think we got just too many useless eaters, and they really are trying to figure out a way to pare down the number of human beings on the planet, because they believe we are essentially a pest. Now, we are, I got to say, we're a bit of a parasite. We're wasteful, and we do destroy habitats and things like that. But, you know, that's man. We could do better in some things. But they had to figure out a way to justify essentially the wholesale slaughter of large, large, large chunks of the population. And that's when they came up with this idea of climate change. This has been in the works for decades and decades, and they are terrorizing our children and our feeble-minded adults with it right now. On page 75 of their 1990 publication entitled The First Global Revolution, the organization outlined how they would manufacture ecological scares in order to manipulate the public into accepting the imposition of a dictatorial world government run by them. Quote, this is from their paper. In searching for a common enemy against whom we can unite, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention. The real enemy then is humanity itself. This passage appears under a sub-headline entitled, quote, "The common enemy of humanity is man." And that's where this thing has its roots. Not in a bunch of scientists that suddenly started noticing some alarming things, and they made the connections. Holy cow, car exhaust and greenhouse gases and being trapped in the atmosphere and all of this. No. No. They said they were searching. In searching for a common enemy against whom we can unite, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention. The real enemy then is humanity itself. In the August 1980 edition of Fusion magazine, Howard Odom, a marine biologist at the University of Florida who was a member of the Club of Rome, was quoted saying, quote, "It is necessary that the U.S. cut its population by two-thirds within the next 50 years. There's 10 years left on his little plan here. He did not mention how this should be accomplished. This is a marine biologist at the University of Florida, a Club of Rome person who says the U.S. needs to not curb population growth. It didn't say we need to slow down population growth. He says we need to cut our population by two-thirds within 50 years. For those of you keeping score at home, at the current levels of U.S. population, he's saying about 200 million Americans need to die. That is what these people are about. This is a eugenics organization. that has decided to make man the target of this. Their goal is not any level of efficiency or ways to keep our standard of living up, but make less impact in terms of pollution or any of these other things. These ideas of carbon footprints are made up out of whole cloth. People like Al Gore make massive amounts of money trading these carbon credits. This is one of the biggest false flag scams perpetrated on the American people and people of the world. And it is just repeated over and over again, and we've been assaulted with this by the mainstream news outlets for all of this week. I mean, it's constant, I know that, but leading up to today's climate change. Another giant hysteria on top of the climate change is the latest vaping thing, and I wanted to play a quick clip of that when I come back. There's a congresswoman, a Democratic congresswoman, that gets up to talk about vaping, and what she says is just stunning with what we know about products that are available to the American people right now that are harming our health. I'll play that for you in just a second. It's another one of these made-up hysterias. It's another one of these things that I submit to you is a way to consolidate the industry only to a few big players like the tobacco companies who can afford to get their e-juices and their vape juices or whatever they're called approved by the FDA. This is an attempt to shut down all of the mom-and-pop vape shops, to shut down all of the boutique people that are doing vape juice that have had no problems with health. Obviously, there's a bad batch of something out there if these people are really dying. But a lot of people have been vaping for 6 or 7 years without any of these lung issues, without any of these deaths. All those businesses will be shut down because this is a move to get the FDA to regulate this to a greater degree, which many people listening to me will think that's a good thing. Well, let me tell you, the FDA will serve their masters, the tobacco companies, who are buying these vape companies, and they're the only ones that will be able to afford FDA approval of their products. This is a takeover of the vaping industry by big tobacco. That is my theory. We'll see if it plays out. We're going to find out pretty soon. Within the next year or two, we'll see if I'm right. But this congresswoman says something that I just find absolutely laughable. We'll do that when we come back soon. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he is the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
Whew, almost didn't make it back in the studio. I had to run out and grab a good plastic bottle of water here on Climate Strike Day. Actually, I mean, I say that in jest, and I did just go out and get a water bottle. I actually think we do waste too much stuff. I think we throw away too much stuff. I think that there is probably more trash floating around the ocean than should be. We should be smarter about these things. City of Jackson has just stopped picking up recycling. That actually bothers me. Now, I've had this argument with another conservative friend of mine where he says, well, he doesn't recycle. He said, you know, the amount of energy required to recycle this stuff ends up, you know, it's a wash. There's no big net benefit to it. And I think he's right. I mean, I've kind of done this. You know, by the time you run the trucks and you have the processing facilities and you remanufacture the plastic, you know, recycle the plastic and then ship it somewhere to be used again, your net energy expenditure may be the same. Probably doesn't save any energy. But it does. Maybe it does cut down on a little bit of the trash. So I've got, I think we all do. We've all got the idea that we want clean air and clean water and we want a nice place. I can't stand when I see people throwing trash out of their cars. It just really drives me crazy. I drop a little tear like the Indian back in the 1970s. But It's amazing to me how politicians use fear in everything. And the problem is, what I try to accomplish with this show is to show you on both sides that this is done. Now, I'm going to talk about climate change today, or I have been. I'm about to talk about the vaping thing, another fear-mongering story. They're ramping up the flu fears already. I've already got clips ready for next week's health show. It's all about fear to get us to react and do things that if we just sat down without this imminent threat, there's always an imminent threat. Conservatives largely concede the climate stuff and just say, what do you do? I mean, they've been telling us we're going to die in 10 years for, 50 years now. And we see the fear-mongering on the left there, but we can't see the fear-mongering when it comes to, foreign policy, that Iran is some existential threat to the United States. We cheer for the next war because our politicians come out and scare us constantly about who all these other adversaries around the world trying to come in and take our stuff. Fear rules us, and it's one of the most freeing things to realize the kinds of things you should be afraid of, which are, bankrupting your government with endless spending and building an empire around the world that have real mathematical consequences. I mean, it may take a little longer than you think or may not be as bad as you think, but, I mean, some of these things are inevitable. But politicians use fear to get us to do all kinds of things that if we just sat back and with a calm mind thought about, we would never do. Vaping right now is the big fear every morning for the last 2 weeks. How many deaths? How many lung injuries? And look, my heart goes out to anybody who got a hold of whatever is this bad batch. There are people out there mixing these vape juices in basements around the place, slapping a pretty label on them, which you can get done very cheaply now, and selling them to people. There's no telling what's in some of this stuff. There is an old term. It's even got a Latin root, caveat emptor, buyer beware. This is a rule to live your life by. And when you see headlines like this, what you should say, if you're vaping, you should go, ooh, yikes, I need to make sure that I'm doing my research on where I'm getting my vape juice. Because people have been vaping for 6 or 7 years without any problems. Now, you can debate whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. We can debate whether or not it has attracted kids to it. I believe there's probably some truth to that. You don't smell like cigarettes. You can get a. I mean, kids can vape in their rooms now with their parents in the next room or in the hallway, and the parents would never know. Of course, kids are going to try to get away with this stuff. So there's all kinds of debates to have around it. But the hysteria around the deaths and the just the recent outbreak of lung problems is trying to drive us into the loving arms of the government who are going to swoop in and save us all. I'm going to play this clip, and I can't remember who it is. We'll see on the screen in just a second, or I will. Some Democratic congresswoman comes out and says something about vaping that just, I mean, I'll talk about it in a second. I want you to listen to this clip with this in mind. You right now, wherever you are, you're less than a half a mile away from shelves and shelves and shelves of cigarettes, right? I think it's pretty well established that cigarettes kill a lot of people, a whole lot of people, yet they remain perfectly legal. And you are, if you're in your car right now, look to your right, look to your left, you probably see a shop that has thousands of packs of cigarettes readily available for everybody. But 8 deaths of vaping is a national emergency.
8 deaths in the U.S. are now blamed on vaping, with the latest happening in Missouri. The Food and Drug Administration has also revealed a criminal investigation of vaping-related illnesses, while the CDC reports at least 530 confirmed and probable cases. Important detail here, most of them involve vaping with THC. That's the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana, or both THC and nicotine. A bipartisan group in Congress is working with parents. Meanwhile,
what have I told you? As soon as, if you hear bipartisan doing something, it's always bad. It is never, ever good. People who are out there saying, I wish they would just get together and reach across party lines and get things done. Oh, you are so misguided. Every time you hear bipartisanship, just know it's bad. And start to pay attention to that. When you hear a bipartisan agreement on something, they're going to do something. Pay attention to the next thing that's happening and then judge for yourself, is it good or bad? You will find that every time a bipartisan agreement between the two parties to doing something. Now, there's a flip side to that. If bipartisan ways they undo something, those are generally good. Like it was a bipartisan effort to force President Trump to stop participating in the war in Yemen. That was a good thing. You'll hear bipartisan agreements to undo things are generally good, because by the time the numbnuts in Washington, D.C. have come together to realize that something is not working or is just a terrible mistake, we've known it's a mistake for years and years. They're finally getting around to it. Bipartisan undoing is a good thing. Bipartisan getting together to do things always is bad. I find myself not able to think of an example of a good bipartisan effort to impose anything on the American people. But I digress. Here's one of our Congress critters up there, just hysterical about the vaping thing.
Meanwhile, to keep teenagers away from all e-cigarettes, while accusing the vaping industry of marketing to kids.
It's frankly unfortunate that it takes so many people to get sick and even die across this country before we really pay the kind of attention that we should.
That is a congresswoman. She's, I didn't even see her name. She's a Democrat from Colorado. Out in front of the podiums, you know, one of these scenes where they all get behind the podium. It's one of the things that drives me nuts. They all want to get their face into the picture. I don't know. It's my rebellious side that just hates politicians with the white hot passion of a thousand suns. She frankly can't believe it took them this long. And by this long, she means about 3 weeks. That's when these deaths started occurring. That's when these lung things. It took them 3 weeks to address this national health emergency. This woman knows that cigarettes are available in stores everywhere today, and they are being bought by millions of Americans, and hundreds of thousands of Americans will die this year due to cigarette-related illness. Now, I'm for an American's right to choose. If you choose to smoke, you get a consequence from it. You kind of knew it. Pretty hard to feign any level of ignorance. Ooh, I didn't know cigarette smoking was bad for me. But that's always your choice. Some smokers live to be 110. We always scratch our heads. Oh, my gosh. I mean, look at Keith Richards, for the love of God. I mean, this man has put, I mean, he's probably a five-pack-a-day smoker just to cap off the heroin that he used to use. I don't think he still does that anymore. The guy's 75. He's still on tour. Who knows? But it is just stunning to me, the hysteria about this on the 8 deaths. I believe the tobacco companies have contributed to these politicians. Some of them are useful idiots. This woman may be some kind of a useful idiot. A lot of them really are stupid. But the biggest movement, part of this movement, is the tobacco companies trying to shut down all the mom and pop and tell you that if you don't buy an FDA-approved product, then you are putting your life in your hands. 8 deaths. I don't know how many tens of millions of vapors there are. Over the course of the last 6 or 7 years that this has really been a big trend, 8 deaths. Cigarettes will kill 300 to 500,000 this year. They did last year, the year before that, and probably more in years past. Millions and millions of Americans have died from cigarette smoking. And this congresswoman has never taken to the floor of the Senate, has never gotten behind a podium with the rest of her fear-mongering buddies there to warn everybody and get cigarettes banned across the land. And I'm not for that. Because I'm for a person's right to choose to even do something stupid. That's what America's about. But she's rushing to the podium. I can't believe it took so many weeks to get there on 8 deaths. I mean, as I get, I guess it's like yesterday's show. It's just absolutely bizarre world. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
If there's one thing I'd like to do with the show, it's to get people to watch the news in a different way and to kind of notice exactly what they're doing. The mainstream media and politicians are about manipulation and control. The use of fear, if you can start to see this in kind of a broader sense. Now, to appeal to all my conservative friends out there who are strong supporters of the Second Amendment, we've seen this, right? We've seen Beto O'Rourke get massive cheers from a crowd as he threatens to take all of our weapons because he scares you that you can't go see a movie anymore. I mean, there are people out there that have done interviews. I'm scared to leave the house. This was after the El Paso shooting and some of the recent ones. They use fear to accomplish things they could never do. And so what they need to do is take some small event and blow it up into a wider thing. They take a hot summer's day and blow it up into an existential crisis to the planet so that you will alter your entire lifestyle. That we will redo our entire economy. They take stories about these shootings where we've talked about the actual statistics of shootings is you have the same risk of being killed in a mass shooting event that you do of being killed by a dog. Not bitten by a dog, not attacked by a dog, killed by a dog. Now, these things happen, and they are tragic. Horrible pit bull stories out there. Do any of you out there know anybody who was actually killed by a dog? I do not. And I'm old enough to have probably run across that in my 52 years. All of these things are fear. It is also fear that drives our foreign policy. It is the fear that they have instilled in you to fight this endless war on terrorism that has enriched a lot of different parties. This fear of terrorism has convinced you to allow your 12-year-old daughter to be molested by somebody at the airport trying to board a plane for a family vacation because you're scared. They use fear against us constantly. Now it's fear of vaping. The government needs to get its loving arms around this because a bad batch of something went out there, and now they'll tell you that this is killing all of us. Run away. Now, I'm not saying it's healthy. Make up your own mind. No, I don't think anybody thinks taking something into your lungs is like a vitamin. We're not idiots out here. We're not children. You're never guaranteed another day. Bad, unfortunate things happen all the time. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the danger of cars and everything else. But if you start watching the media and noticing what politicians and the media do, which is try to direct your behavior out of fear, and most of the times, it is completely irrational fear. We have spent $7 trillion on a war on terror. Your chance of being killed in a terrorist attack is the same as being killed by a dog. No, falling furniture. Your chance of dying in a terrorist event is the same as having a piece of furniture fall on you and kill you. Your chance of being killed in a mass killing is the same as a dog killing you. They use fear. It's everything. It is everything. And when you finally wake up to that, you don't become controllable anymore. For me, as a free-thinking American, you know what I say? I wake up every morning, I take my chances. I try to make decisions that I think are in my best interest. Sometimes I do some dumb stuff. And if I pay a price for that, well, I'll learn my lesson. But these politicians, they sell you all these draconian policies, gun control, climate change, war on terror, based on fear. Don't let them do that.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. So I do a crazy little segment here called False Flag Friday. I made a kind of an unintentional great segue from the end of last hour to the beginning of this hour, which is the American people. I'm sure this is around the world, but I speak to American people largely, is about fear. That's how they control people. That's how they get the most obscene overreaches of government, is through fear. And one of those methods of fear are false flag attacks. False flag attacks are either created events, manufactured events, or they're events that actually happen, but they're twisted and assigned to somebody else so that we can, the government can direct your anger and your fear to their intended target so that they could do things that you would never normally accept. The war on terror plays on Americans' fears. Think of all the privacy we've given up because we're scared there's a terrorist behind every bush. Now, are there people that might want to get a leg up on the United States? Or some people in the world that might want to do us harm? Yes. Is it worth trillion? How cute. I said billion. I meant trillion. $1 trillion, giving up our civil liberties. They use fear for all of this stuff. this recent attack, when it comes to False Flag Friday, this is kind of a slam dunk. This attack on the Saudi oil infrastructure last weekend. They have, Mike Pompeo has come out and said, oh, it's definitely Iran. Of course, there's no evidence of that. Iran has said they didn't do it. The Houthis said they did do it. But what I do know is when you look at what took place with the attack on the Saudi oil infrastructure there, which strangely wasn't protected. I mean, it's the only source of income that the Saudi Arabian government has. It's kind of strange that they have no defenses for it. As it turned out, I don't think I have the clip, but I heard a clip someone the other day, or it may actually be in one of the ones I've got, is they said, oh, well, all the Patriot, they were pointing the other direction towards Yemen. They left the back door open. They profess that Iran is this existential threat to the Middle East that must be contained and strangled with sanctions. This is from the Saudi Arabians. They're in love with this war with Iran. Iran is, because Iran is Shia and Saudi Arabia is Sunni, they consider Iran this huge threat, and they keep prompting us to try to go to war with Iran, yet they didn't cover their flank there at their oil infrastructure. Anyway, I think this whole thing stinks to high heaven. It may have actually happened, but the ascribing it to Iran is completely orchestrated. I ran across one clip or one story here. Well, yeah, here we go. Well, I'm not going to play this. It's a 3-minute clip. I got too much to get to. But talking about fear, this was funny. On Wednesday's broadcast of Fox News Channel's The Story, and again, Fox News Channel is the thing that brings conservatives into the warfare state. It turns you into a neocon. They play on your fear and tell you that everybody's out to get our stuff and kill our people. Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Jim Risch, R-I-S-C-H, he's a Republican from Idaho, stated that while President Trump doesn't want war with Iran, here's his quote, sometimes you get pulled into something and have to do something that you don't necessarily want to do. The Iranians are very, very close to that. Risch said, we have a commander-in-chief, and he has said he does not want war with Iran, and the Saudi Arabians have said the same thing. That's absolutely ridiculous. The Saudi Arabians, all they want is the defeat of Iran. That's their biggest adversary in the Middle East, Iran being the home, the hub of Shia Islam. As this is just this is a senator, a Republican senator, telling you that you're an idiot. Now, I believe Trump doesn't want war, but to think that the Saudi Arabians don't want to see us take on Iran and topple them, are you nuts? We have a commander-in-chief, and he has said he does not want war with Iran, and Saudi Arabia have said the same thing. The unfortunate part of all of this is Iran continues to push the envelope. I don't think we're there yet, but it's very, very close. And the difficulty is the Iranians are just notorious for making bad judgments, bad calculations, miscalculating, and they're doing that now. They need to listen carefully to what the president has said. He doesn't want war with Iran. Having said that, sometimes you get pulled into something and have to do something that you don't necessarily want to do. The Iranians are very, very close to that. Something we don't want to do. which is engage with Iran militarily. I'm sorry, I've got to go back into the flashback machine and play a clip I played often here. This is General Wesley Clark talking about a conversation he had at the Pentagon in 2001, 18 years ago. Now, you just heard a Republican senator tell you, we don't want to do these things, but the Iranians are forcing our hand. We're very, very close to doing something we don't want to do. Oh, really?
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No." He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to al-Qaeda?" He said, no. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office, today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
Finishing off with Iran. That was 2001. And this Republican senator in the Foreign Relations Committee comes out and tells the American people the Iranians are forcing us to take some action. 2001. 2018 years ago, they had Iran in their crosshairs. Is Iran a good government? Nope. No, they are not. But this has been in the planning for a long time. Don't believe the hype about these attacks or the ship nonsense that went on or everything they point to. They have been trying to kick off this war for 18 years, and they're so close. Trump really is the only one standing between them and this war. The bad thing is, though, actually, it's maybe a good thing. I'm starting to think this is never actually going to happen. Number one, I think Trump is smarter than this. I just believe they're going to continue to create events until it forces his hand to just launch some kind of military strike, to which Iran will respond, hitting either Israel or Saudi Arabia or some of our troops in the area or some of our ships in the Persian Gulf. And then it's on like Donkey Kong. I mean, it's just on. Trump will think they'll talk him into just doing some kind of a surgical strike. The Iranians are going to have a great deal of restraint to not respond, and then we're off to the races. But I also kind of think our military knows this is not going to be a cakewalk. This is not going to be good, and maybe they're smart enough to know they're not in a position to easily defeat an Iranian adversary right now without severe blowback around the Middle East. Playing their part, NBC, I saw this news today, and I literally kind of chuckled. All by myself, in my living room, sitting on my couch, doing my show prep, and I just went, oh my gosh, here it goes. Okay, now Iran, Mike Pompeo, the warmongering piece of human refuse that is our State Department chairman, sorry for all you Trump supporters who think Mike Pompeo is a brilliant pick, I disagree with you. He is telling us that Iran is the greatest state sponsor of terror. They get you all, again, this goes back to the fear. He wants to scare you. He wants to tell you that Iran is this existential threat. They must be contained. They can't have a nuclear weapon, blah, 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 blah. The problem I've pointed out, the inconsistency with that, is that all of the people that have been attacking us, whether it is al-Qaeda or ISIS in the Middle East or al-Nusra, these are all Sunni groups. Iran is connected to Hezbollah, which is a Shia group. Now, a Shia group didn't attack us on 9/11. Our troops haven't been fighting Shia groups in Iraq, where they've been fighting ISIS, or in Syria, where they've been fighting ISIS and al-Nusra, or in Afghanistan, where they were fighting al-Qaeda. Those were all Sunni groups. But now we want this war with Iran. That's kind of an inconvenient fact.
All of the boogeymen they've given us are actually sponsored by Saudi Arabia, but we want to attack Iran. Huh, how do we pull this off? We've got to get the American people more scared of the Shia wing of Islam. Maybe we could do something and tell them that Hezbollah actually is the boogeyman now. Right on time, today's story from New York, NBC News. A New Jersey man who allegedly photographed or recorded video of landmarks, including the Statue of Liberty, the White House, and Boston's Fenway Park as potential terrorism targets in the early to mid-2000s, has been charged with terror offenses by authorities who say he was working on behalf of anyone? Anyone? Hezbollah's Islamic Jihad organization. Alexei Saab, 42, of Morristown, was arrested July 9th after being questioned during 11 separate sessions with FBI agents since the spring. Yep, they found a Hezbollah terrorist. They want to make sure that you understand. Look at this. I mean, just right on time, isn't it? Trying to kick off this war with Iran that has had nothing to do with 9/11, that has had nothing to do with ISIS. Iran actually fights ISIS. I actually did a story for the other day where Hezbollah has been training Christians in Jordan to fight ISIS, and they've been fighting side by side. But this is how they roll out the new terror campaign. And when I say terror, I mean terrorism against you. The authorities are going to terrorize you with the idea that now Hezbollah, this Shia Muslim group, is coming to the United States to do dastardly things. The odd thing in that story is that he took these photographs in the mid-2000s. He's just now being arrested. They took their sweet time with that, didn't they? I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Strangely enough, too, on a lot of these attacks, these like the attacks on the Saudi oil infrastructure, I'll play a report on that and then tell you there's always a business opportunity in it. Strange how that works, right? Not for you and me, but for the defense contractors. It's kind of interesting. We'll hear in just a second where maybe some of your tax dollars are going to go next in response to the attack on Saudi Arabia. You know, it really just hits me sometimes after I say these things out loud, talking about this Hezbollah terrorist that was arrested. You want to know the difference between a Hezbollah terrorist, which is a Shia terrorist, and a Sunni terrorist like ISIS or Al-Qaeda? The difference is the Hezbollah and the Iranian sponsor, they shout death to America, and many people really gnash their teeth about that. But Mike, you know they're shouting death to America, don't you? Well, yeah, they shout it. The ISIS Sunni wing that's sponsored by Saudi Arabia, they actually kill us. So you kind of pick your battles there maybe. And I would imagine the chance for death to America might go down substantially if we haven't overthrown their government in 1953, hadn't installed one of our own strongman dictators that abused the people, if we hadn't strangled them with sanctions, if we hadn't made them an international pariah, if we hadn't cut them off from selling the one thing they've got, which is oil. The chance death to America might subside a little bit, but you know, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe they should love the fact that we've targeted them. And again, you know, thought of going to war with Iran was, as Wesley Clark says, in 2001 they were already on the list. So if you're swayed by all these little events that happen where Mike Pompeo runs to every microphone he can to immediately within hours conclusively prove that these things were Iran, look, they've been working on this since 2001. Don't be a sucker. Here's the report on the story, and then I'm going to show you. You're not going to believe this, but I think the defense contractors may end up making some money on these Saudi Arabian attacks.
With David Martin at the Pentagon, who has more on the growing case the U.S. is building against Iran.
Ooh. U.S. officials say experts have examined pieces of the wreckage on the ground in Saudi Arabia,
identified the specific type of cruise missiles and drones fired and determined they were made in Iran. Other analysts have traced their tracks back to points in southwestern Iran. One official called it a complex and coordinated attack involving 2 dozen drones and 9 cruise missiles.
Ooh.
Although Vice President Pence stopped short of saying flatly it was Iran.
It's certainly looking like Iran was behind these attacks. Our intelligence community at this very hour is working diligently to review the evidence.
Does anybody have faith in these intelligence communities? Isn't this the intelligence community that told us that Russia hacked the DNC and the intelligence community that told us that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction? It's kind of like listening to the Federal Reserve on economic issues. They are like this authority that is above reproach. They are not to be questioned. Even though they get it wrong every time. The intelligence community, Mike Pence, what a cutout. I got to tell you, I know I'm not making any friends by telling you. Pence is horrible. I don't trust that guy for a minute.
Iran appears to have found a gaping hole in Saudi air defenses around their most valuable asset.
How lucky for them. Give credit to all. I mean, what about the gaping hole that the Saudis found on 9/11? I mean, these guys swung by a hardware store, picked up a bunch of box cutters for about $30 and found a gaping hole in America's defenses, the most heavily guarded, most secure country on planet Earth, in, you know, 19 box cutters. A pretty big hole there, too. You gotta give it. America's enemies, they really know how to find these pinpoint holes.
Oil. Saudi Arabia relies on U.S.-made Patriot air defense batteries, but they were all pointed south toward Yemen, where past missile attacks have come from.
I mean, come on. Seriously? Seriously? We've got Iran. I mean, they're talking. We've been told for the past several months that Iran is acting in all these aggressive. They're attacking ships, and they're bombing ships. They're sponsoring these terrorists. You mean Saudi Arabia just turned their back on Iran and was just looking at this poorest country in the Middle East, Yemen? Now, there have been some stuff lobbed out of Yemen. There's no doubt about that. So they probably should dedicate some defenses to that. But seriously, we're led to believe that they just went, oh, I don't think we need to worry about Iran anymore. It's those Houthis, that ragtag group of rebels over there that keeps lobbing stuff at us. Point all the missiles their way. Well, sir, Iran's right behind us. Should we deploy anything there? No! Dedicate all defense to the Houthis. Oh, my gosh.
The missiles and drones that hit the oil facilities this weekend came in from the north. The U.S. has patriots of its own at an air base in the middle of the country, but they were too far away. Having been unable to prevent the attack, the U.S. warned it might retaliate.
We're locked and loaded, and we're ready to defend our interests and our allies in the region. Make no mistake about it.
Ooh, he's so tough.
The U.S. has been locked and loaded since last spring when it sent an aircraft carrier and B-52 bombers to the Persian Gulf. But Joint Chiefs Chairman General Joseph Dunford told reporters the president has not yet asked for any military options. For now, the most concrete consequence of what Secretary of State Pompeo called an unprecedented attack on the world's energy supply is that President Trump said he'd prefer not to meet with Iranian President Rouhani next week when world leaders gather at the UN.
I'm sorry. I can't get with you on Mike Pence. I cannot do it. I don't trust that guy. He's one of the neocons that's in that administration and such an establishment guy. And he's creepy. I'm not sure he's completely human. I'm going to tell you he's some level of cyborg. We won't find this out for hundreds of years when the history is written of the first cyborg vice president. They're testing it out to see if a president could actually get away with it. I just don't think Mike Pence is human. But I do want to point this out. There's always an opportunity for the military-industrial complex when attacks like this happen. The first thing you would probably think is, well, the Saudis kind of screwed up by putting all of their defense missiles on one side of their facility with their mortal enemy on the other side. Does anybody believe that? You believe that they took all of their missiles and put them to defend against the Houthis and nothing against Iran, their sworn enemy? Nobody noticed? I mean, did not one guy go, should we, I don't know, cover this side too? No. I mean, it's just bizarre. But anyway, the military-industrial complex always has a solution to every problem like this one.
Expecting the president shortly. We'll play that for you as we get it. Michael, the bigger picture, there was a time when
world oil prices factored in risk to oil facilities, and there's a name for that. It's sort of been on the side for a while, but with this new drone technology and instability in the region, I wonder, bigger picture, how concerned you are that this sort of thing could happen again.
I do worry, because what we really need to stop this kind of thing is directed energy defense, laser beams, essentially, that can shoot down an indefinite number of small threats. If you have to use a missile to take out each drone, the economics are against you, the geography is against you. And the laser technology is coming along, but it's not quite economical and effective enough yet that it could really protect all these Saudi or other oil facilities. So on balance, there is going to be some ongoing vulnerability here. My guess is we could probably do a little better with the point defense of these kinds of facilities. Maybe not each and every one, but the most valuable, the most fragile. And so I think that's the next step, is to look into how much better defense you can do. There's going to be a certain amount of vulnerability, however, either way you look at it.
Our allies seem concerned or expressing concern.
So there you go. Laser, directed energy weapons. This will be the new thing. Massive contracts will be awarded. He says it's not economical now. When do economics matter? In a $750 billion annual budget for our military-industrial complex, $750 billion? I guess we need to bump it up to what? $800 billion? $850 billion? To plug this one vulnerability? I'm going to mention this one last thing in this segment, and then I'm going to get you back on board with me here. I'm going to stop criticizing Pence for a little while, and I'm going to get to a look back at the week of the lunatic left. Now, there's a story out about on the Hill about former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. I don't know where we ended up on him. Do we like him or do we not like him? I get very confused, because I'm sure he was a genius hire when Trump hired him, but then he was probably a genius fire. So did everybody turn on Rex Tillerson when he left the administration? Did Rex Tillerson say something critical of Donald Trump so everybody hates him now? I don't know. I'm not in that world of judging everybody by their relation to Donald Trump. So I don't know if we like Rex Tillerson or not, but I did find this comment interesting. Former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said during a Tuesday interview with a panel of Harvard professors that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, quote, played President Trump numerous times. Tillerson said Netanyahu was, quote, a bit Machiavellian and cultivated relationships with world leaders he anticipated would be useful later. No, come on. Tillerson added that Israeli officials would use misinformation if they believed it was necessary to win U.S. officials over to their side of an issue. Quote, they did that with the president on a couple of occasions to persuade him that we're the good guys, they're the bad guys. We later exposed it to the president so he understood. You've been played, Tillerson said. It bothers me that an ally that's that close and important to us would do that to us. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I mean, it's not unique to Israel, but they have perfected the art of playing American politicians. And if you want any evidence of that, you can look at the last 20 years and realize we've been fighting their wars and the wars of Saudi Arabia for those 20 years. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
It's Friday, the end of Friday's show. I try to do a little bit lighter side. We look back at the week on the lunatic left. There's always a little something to smile about there, and it's also my attempt to try to get traditional Republicans back on board with my show because I call out a lot of the establishment on both sides of the aisle, but we really kind of target the left. They really are a lot of fun to play with, particularly this segment on Fridays. You want to know how bad the left has gotten? You want to know how insane the Democratic Party has become? And this is to all conservatives who have been paying attention to politics for, 10, 20, 30 years. This is just comedy gold. the left and the Democratic Party has become so insane that Nancy Pelosi now is the voice of reason there. She is now the sane one. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi blasted House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler last week over his, quote, Moby Dick-like obsession with impeaching President Trump. Pelosi's comments came during a closed-door Capitol Hill meeting of Democrats last week where she complained that Judiciary Committee aides have advanced the impeachment push, quote, far beyond where the House Democratic Caucus stands, according to Politico. Quote, and you can feel free to leak this, Pelosi added, according to several people who were there. That's how far we have come, ladies and gentlemen. We are now, on the right, forced to have some level of admiration and applause for Nancy Pelosi because she is the most sane person on the left side of the aisle in Washington, D.C. It is truly a remarkable thing to behold when she is their thought leader. I talked a little bit about climate change in the first hour. This was pretty funny and sad, and I'm going to get to something in a second, the left. A recurring part of this segment of the show is the serious child abuse being foisted upon the children around the world, here in America, on this climate change issue. In an effort to invoke maximum first world guilt over our addiction to red meat and plastic straws, someone at NBC thought it would be a great idea to let people anonymously confess to their climate sins in order to shame the rest of us into using paper straws and giving up bacon. Quote, this is what NBC says on their website. Even those who care deeply about the planet's future can slip up now and then. Tell us, where do you fall short in preventing climate change? Do you blast the AC? Throw out half your lunch? Grill a steak every week? Share your anonymous confessions with NBC News. And then they go in. Let me pull this page up real quick. I wasn't going to do it. It's really a terrible platform, I got to say, for these little boxes. They've got it in plastics, meat, transportation. Here's one person. I commute 30 miles to work every day in a car by myself. Oh, my gosh. How dare you get to work in an automobile? This whole thing. Now, some people were pretty funny. I was a vegetarian since 1980, but the last few years I started eating ground turkey. So sad. This is, I got to tell you, the thing with the left that I would appeal to people, I say this every time, there are some liberals I just love. I talked to one on the phone last night. I just ask them, don't be so helpless. Don't be convinced that you are so weak and pathetic that you need to go to NBC and confess your climate sins. That is really sad to me. It's just, I don't know. It's just weakness. It's pathetic. But the serious side of this climate change stuff is their constant abuse of the children. This is a woman, I believe this was a testimony in front of Congress.
Like, I already have, like, underlying issues of, like, anxiety.
This is a teenager. This is a teenager explaining to you what's happening to her because of what our refusal to act on the climate.
Like, I already have, like, underlying issues of, like, anxiety. And it's just really hard to grow up in a world full of ifs. You know, I don't think a lot of people in Congress.
I got to tell you, if you're scared to grow up, if it's really terrifying for you to grow up in an uncertain world, I don't know we can help you. I mean, there's a lot of ifs in the world. Climate change is just one of them.
Understand the conversations that are happening in everyday American high schools, and it's just like this constant looming uncertainty, and it's this weird form of nihilism and weird just fear that's been existing in my generation, where kids are joking like, what is even like the point, the world is ending, what are we studying for, what are we doing? And it's this kind of depression, it's this fear that is not just among me or my panelists here, but everyone, and that anxiety is something that no child should ever have to fear.
That's child abuse. That is child abuse. Now, what they'll end up doing is put her on some medication. That's because that's what we do here. What they do is they scare the crap out of these kids. And then this girl is kind of justified in her view because she has been so indoctrinated through schools and through the left that climate change, I mean, we are all going to die in just a few years. And she's looking around at people like me or her parents or other adults, and she's just shocked that nobody's doing anything. I can kind of associate with that view. I look around at our financial situation. I say, why does nobody care? I look at these endless wars that accomplish nothing and bankrupt our country and kill our troops and kill innocent people, and I look around and I say, why doesn't anybody care? She has been convinced of this thing that doesn't even really exist, this climate change hysteria, and she can't even interact with the world because she doesn't understand why we're not all running around with our hair on fire about the planet ending in a few years. As I say, this is child abuse. There is a little bit of good news with something that is kind of brewing as a backlash against the left. I have mourned since the day I came on this show. I've mourned the death of comedy in the age of political correctness and snowflake generation that has sprung up around us. When I come back, I'm going to play some of these clips. Comedians are starting to fight back. So I guess this isn't really a look back at the lunatic left. It's actually some people regaining some level of sanity and they're fighting back. But the left struck first. It's the cancel culture. Both sides are guilty of it, but the left has made it, they have refined it to an art. I'll be right back with that as we look back at the week.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, final segment on this week's broadcast. Look back at Lunatic Left. I got a lot of clips to play. I need to get to, you know, if those darn neocons would quit trying to force us into wars, my False Flag Friday segment wouldn't have to be so long. I could spend more time laughing at the left. But they won't knock it off. Before I get into this, I want to remind everybody it's Friday. It's weekend. You're looking for something to do with the kids? You're looking to go get some good food? Really nobody wants to cook on the weekend. Get yourself out to Your Pie in Gluckstadt. They're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. This is a veteran-owned business. Fantastic food. They got pizzas, they got paninis, they got pastas, salads, craft beers, gelato. They're also on the Waiter app. If you can't get out there, then download the Waiter app and look for Your Pie on there, and you can get their food brought right to you. It's 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas. It's just fantastic food and a great atmosphere. You can catch a football game on the televisions, and the weather's cooling down, and I love their little deck. I'm a big fan of dining al fresco, and they got a nice, quiet area out there that's nice to sit in, too. That's Your Pie, again, up in Gluckstadt, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Do yourself a favor and get out there. If you have not tried it yet, try it. You will thank us here at WYAB. We're big, big, big fans of that establishment. Okay, let's get into these. The cancel culture is still in full gear. They're trying. Now, this is on the both sides. I call out the right for some of their cancel culture, too. But they took down another SNL comedian.
And tonight, a dramatic reversal of fortune for a comic who had just been hired by Saturday Night Live, now fired over racist and homophobic remarks. Here's Stephanie Gosk.
Oh, my gosh. Another comedian said something off color. Oh, we're all shocked.
It's Saturday Night Live.
Tonight, comedian Shane Gillis is out of a job. His offer to join Saturday Night Live rescinded after days of backlash over racist and homophobic slurs he used during a podcast.
Damn, Chinatown's nuts.
The video surfaced just after it was announced Gillis would join the SNL cast, along with the show's first comedian of East Asian descent. Now a spokesperson for show creator and producer Lorne Michaels releasing this statement, writing in part, "We hired Shane on the strength of his talent as a comedian and his impressive audition for SNL. We were not aware of his prior remarks that have surfaced over the past few days. The language he used is offensive, hurtful, and unacceptable."
Oh, Lorne Michaels, what happened to you? I think it's funny. How old is Saturday Night Live? They just hired their first Asian. Oh, but they're going to moral self-license to the rest of us. This guy made some... he's a comedian. And you mean to tell me NBC News, I mean, NBC as an organization, they're one of the largest corporations in the world. They didn't vet this guy. They hired him and then fired him just to make, I mean, just to show how special they are. It's so gross. The beautiful thing is the comedians are starting to fight back.
Well, this is just cancel culture. The guy shouldn't have been fired. It's just a couple of things back in his history. We're going to go through everyone's history. Or are we going to get rid of every sketch that SNL has done that involves race?
Lots
like, I remember
of those.
John Belushi dressing as an Asian man with a samurai sword. That was the whole sketch. or maybe we could have...
Red.
What was it? Mike Myers. He used to play a Japanese host like this. And if they got the question wrong, they had to cut their hand off.
Yeah. Do they go back and also try to look at good things that the person might have done, or are they just looking for the bad stuff? Is it you just scroll through, help cat out of a tree? That's not it. Help grandmother walk across the street? That's not it. You know,
I
said something
like...
on a podcast. There it is.
Yeah, you know what?
I mean, you could do that. You could honestly do that to anybody. So I don't get it. And then I don't get if you say something like that, you can't work in a sketch show, but like it's okay from what? He can work at a lumber yard?
Yeah.
You know? He's certainly going to meet more Asians there, right? Then on SNL, it's a joke about how SNL's not hiring Asians. Jesus
Christ. Also,
now I'm in trouble?
Yeah.
Is it?
We're not running for office. When is this going to end?
Yeah. Is it?
You millennials, you're a bunch of rats. All of you.
Yeah. They're fighting back. That's Bill Burr. Another one, Dave Chappelle has just come out and done a cancel culture thing, too. Now, the question is, will the left cancel this guy?
In 2001, when I was a teacher out in Vancouver, I attended an end-of-year gala where the theme was Arabian Nights. And I dressed up in an Aladdin costume and put makeup on. I shouldn't have done that.
It just strikes me. This is the leader of a country. This is Justin Trudeau, got caught with some blackface back in the year 2000. This is the leader of a country. He sounds like a whipped puppy. Listen to him. I'm so sorry.
I should have known better, but I didn't. And I'm really sorry.
Do you think you should resign this? Would you have called for them to step down?
I think there are people who've made mistakes in this life, and you make decisions based on what they actually do, what they did, and on a case-by-case basis. I think I deeply regret that I did that. I should have known better, but I didn't.
Yeah, the case-by-case basis he's referring to, they ask him, should you resign? And he said, well, I think that's on a case-by-case basis. I think the case-by-case basis is if you're on the left, you get a pass. If you're anywhere near the right or you are attacking the left when you're politically incorrect, you're done for. That's the case-by-case basis. There's pretty overarching rule for it all. Let's see here what else I've got. I'm going to run out of time here. I feel like I need to do Joe Biden gaffes because he's not long for this campaign. I don't care what polls say. I'm not one of these people who says every poll is bogus unless it agrees with what I agree with. But the polls may be right that he's ahead. I don't care. This man, there's no way he becomes president of the United States or even the nominee for the Democratic Party. This was him talking about we need to give a tax credit for working women so they can get back into the workforce. And he wants a whole bunch of them back in the workforce.
You get a tax break for a racehorse. Why in God's name couldn't we provide an $8,000 tax credit for everybody who has child care costs? It would put 720 million women back in the workforce.
Wow.
It would increase the GDP to sound like a wonk here by about 0.8%. It would grow the economy.
Not only would it grow the economy and increase GDP, it would also double the population of the United States. Actually, more than that. Obviously, the United States has around 328 million people in it, but he thinks he can put 720 million women back to work with the tax credit. Let's see what else we had from him. Have I got time for Corn Pop? Boy, that was so good. I really did like the Corn Pop. Let's hear a little bit of Corn Pop from Joe Biden.
A lot. And I learned that... it makes a difference.
This is Joe Biden. He went to a pool, mostly a black pool, where he used to be a lifeguard. He says some things in here that I find, to me, they sound pretty racist.
was the diving board area, and I was one of the guards, and there weren't allowed to, there was a 3-meter board. And you fell off sideways, you landed on the damn, the darn cement over there. And Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys.
Now, I got to tell you, I don't know you can call them boys. I'm not sure. I'm not in all the rules on political correctness. I don't think you can call them boys. I think also, what does it say that you had a pool that was, you know, mostly black kids enjoyed, but you had this one white guy sitting up on the stand telling them what to do? That feels a little icky.
And I did. Yeah, and back in those days, you show how things have changed. One of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap.
This guy, I don't know, could he shine a brighter spotlight on how freaking old the guy is? He's talking about pomade in your hair when he was a lifeguard at a pool.
And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, "Hey, Esther, you, off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off." Well, he came off, and he said, "I'll meet you outside. My car, these were all... public housing."
I don't have time to listen to him ramble on, but I got to tell you, in the cancer culture world, if you try to get a gig at Saturday Night Live and they find out that you called a black guy on a diving board Esther at some point, your career's over. Joe Biden's out talking about this like it improves his resume. I'm sorry we can't get to more Joe Biden gas. I promise I'll get to him before he drops out because it won't be long. That's all the time I got today. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.